Hi, I'm Marcy Fox.
And I'm Tanner Griffin.
And this is the All Connected Podcast.
A small town pastor with big ideas.
And a rising real estate agent who puts dreams into actions. Coming together to change the world one episode at a time. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to episode number 2 of the All Connected Podcast. So super excited to be here this morning. We've got some great topics. I know that I know for me, this morning has just been crazy hectic. So I had a lot of plans and preparations before this podcast recording. And instead, I'm like running into the church last minute trying to figure out, hey, what are we talking about today? I'm not prepared.
Right. Which is funny because, I mean, from the podcast side of things, from the audience side of things, it's just the next one in the line of podcasts. But it's been like weeks since we've recorded the last one. So it feels like we should be very well prepared and we should have it all put together because it takes us forever to get together to actually do one of these things.
Right. But everyone's got their lives put together so well.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, you know, that's the expectation here is that we should be all prepared and know exactly what we're doing. Right. But reality is that life doesn't really look that way.
Right. It still feels very last minute, even though we've been planning on this for weeks now.
So. Well, that's the joys of what? Parenthood, getting kids off to school in the morning.
Yep.
Just craziness going on nonstop and then trying to just, you know, start the day and move on with things.
And the chaos that's in our own lives, like, seems to take over, and we look around and it seems like maybe people aren't struggling as much as we are, or it's easier for them, so.
And that's exactly what we're going to talk about today, is that comparison of it's so easy to, you know, look around and think that everyone else has it figured out and everyone else has it together. And I know for me, getting off to, you know, school in the morning, getting off to work is not an easy process. It feels like it should be smooth and, you know, everyone gets up and they have their breakfast and they get the kids off to school and dressed on time.
Right.
Yeah, there's no way. We're running out of the house last minute trying to get there before the school bell rings. It doesn't matter how prepared we try to be.
Right.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fun being the pastor of a church and being late to everything. Like, it's just everything.
Where's the pastor? Oh, he's late again. Don't worry about it.
To the point where, like, if we show up on time, people are like, what's the special occasion?
What's going on?
Right. Yeah. Right. Like, oh, are you guys okay? You're here on time.
Right. That's what people probably say about me too. Definitely. But no, I mean, and I'm excited. I really am. So like you said, we've been talking about, we talk about our episodes weeks in advance. Mm-hmm. And again, we've been planning this thing for probably practically a year now. And
quite,
we should have it all figured out. But it does, life is busy and it feels like we have to catch up. But this topic that we're talking about today, comparison, I think is something that everybody can really relate to in a lot of different ways. And I know that you've picked out a truth. So one of the things that we wanted to do in these episodes is to talk about a truth from the Bible or scripture or a favorite quote or something that relates to the topic that we're going to talk about. So do you want to share what that truth is and we'll...
Yeah. So this has been one of my favorite scriptures since I was a teen, I think, is when I kind of ran across it. But it's a gospel, which means it's a story about Jesus, and it's John chapter 20. Jesus is talking to one of his followers named Peter, and it's kind of towards the end of Jesus's ministry. He knows he's going to be leaving them behind to handle the ministry that he started and to follow in his footsteps. And so he goes to Peter and he asks him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And when Peter says, "Of course I do," then Jesus says, "Well, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, tend my sheep." And Peter starts to get frustrated that Jesus keeps asking him if he loved him and keeps telling him to do the work. And then the scripture tells us that out of the corner of his eyes, he sees John or another disciple. And as Jesus is explaining to Peter what his path is going to look like, what he is calling him to, Peter starts looking over at John and says, "But what about him?" And Jesus, and I love this. Jesus is kind of snarky and sarcastic at times. Like, we don't always catch this, but he looks at Peter and says, "Well, if I want John to live forever, what's it to you?" Like, basically, I have my plan for you and I have my plan for him. So what is my plan for him have to do with what I'm asking you to do? And then the Bible tells us that, of course, because Jesus said that, rumor started going around that John was never going to die, and, like, you know, how things get twisted. And But it was just this amazing story where Peter should have been honored, excited, whatever, to have Jesus telling him, like, you're going to be the one that I'm going to hand off the responsibility of caring for my people to. Like, you're the one that I'm asking you to carry out this important mission that I've started. And Peter's immediate reaction was to go, but what about somebody else's path? What is John's mission? What is his task? Where is he at in this whole picture? And so it's just this idea that even Peter, who is getting a verbal, I mean, just one-on-one with Jesus, this is what I'm going to have you do, is still playing the comparison game, mm-hmm. and worried about what somebody else's path looks like. And so I wanted to kind of bring the scripture up because, you know, our podcast, we're talking about, you know, mission and purpose and getting free from the junk that keeps us from doing what we've been called to do or from finding that sense of purpose in our lives. And so here's Peter having Jesus himself say very specifically, not, you know, Peter's not having to go, oh, what's God's will for my life? Right. Or, you know, I don't know what God wants me to do, but like Jesus is telling him specifically and Peter still can't hear it.
Right.
And so, you know, I thought it'd be a great jumping off point to talk about, like, why is it that's the tendency, right? Like, I mean, it's easy to pick on Peter and say, what are you doing, man? But right. at the same time, I think we all
do it every day.
Can relate to it.
Right.
Yeah.
I think comparison is one, like, it is such a thief in our lives. Hmm. And it's so easy to get caught up in it. And I think comparison makes us wear blinders to where we are so caught up in what everyone else is doing that we forget to focus on what our own path is and our purpose and our calling, right? So that's the point of your scripture. And I mean, I know I do that on a regular basis. I was just talking with someone the other day about one of the things that I think probably come up many times in this podcast is I'm a person of many goals and many dreams, and I want to do it all. And among those things are, you know, yeah, we're doing this podcast and I want to get into ministry and I want to be an author and a blogger and all these different things.
Right,
but
there's
there's definitely a list. Yeah. I wish that was a joke. It's not. There is a list. But I find myself in this place to where I'm constantly comparing to say, gosh, I should have all these things figured out by now. I'm not getting any younger and everyone else around me already has it figured out. Mm. So I keep finding myself in this place where like, I'm not doing as good. I should have this figured out by now. They're already doing it. I'm late to the game.
Right.
And I'm forgetting to realize that my timing and my path might be different than somebody else's.
Right.
And I think that if it's not been a straight line for me or for you on our paths and what we want to do, but I think it'd look a lot different if it were. I don't think it'd be the same. I don't think our mission calling would be the same.
Right. Yeah. And it's easy to look at somebody else and see, the things that are going well in their lives and to say, oh, I wish I had that. It's interesting, though, as we start talking, like, you know, we talk about how the connection between things, as we start talking with other people and hear that they have a hard time seeing the good things in their life because they're looking at somebody else and comparing themselves to that. And so we find out that it's the people that even that we look up to from a distance say, oh, they've got it sorted out, that if you can get close enough to them and have real conversation, that they're struggling with the same thing, too. And so it's like all these people that have these wonderful gifts and abilities and mission that they've been given with this life. And like you said, this comparison thing is a thief. It steals the sense of joy and fulfillment that we get out of where we're actually at in the moment because we're so concerned about where somebody else is. And I think at some level it is focused on other people, but I know for me, that focus on somebody else is really trying to get a gauge for myself. So yeah, I'm looking at somebody else, but it's me asking, am I close enough to where they're at to be good enough? Like
right.
it's an insecurity or a fear, or just even if it's just trying to get a gauge, right? Like they're using somebody else as a measuring stick in terms of, am I good enough or Why am I not good enough? Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that I've been trying to focus on lately, too, instead of letting comparison overwhelm me, mm-hmm. been looking at when I start thinking comparison, I start turning it into opportunity. So an example is, you know, I have a marketing business, mm-hmm. I'm a, you know, a consultant for marketing, and recently had seen another business pop up that's doing pretty much the same thing. And I found myself like, oh my gosh, there, you know, she's doing it now too. And there goes my opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I was like feeling kind of down about it and comparing myself to all the marketing things that she was doing. Mm-hmm. And I was getting really caught up in that. And I realized, wait a minute, there's probably opportunity here.
Right.
And so instead I took it and I reached out and said, hey, I noticed that we're doing something similar. So instead of viewing her as a competitor and as a threat, mm-hmm. through that comparison, the conversation turned into, how can we partner? What can we do together? And I think that's the same thing for everything. I know I look at other people that are doing podcasts that are probably 20 episodes in instead of two.
Right, right. And it hasn't taken 8 months to put together.
Yeah. Right. That's not even launched yet. And, you know, I start looking at people that are doing the same things. And instead of looking at it and saying, wow, they've already done it. Mm-hmm. We're repeating something that's already been done. Looking at it as, how can we build on each other, mm-hmm. and become stronger and have a bigger purpose together, mm-hmm. rather than competing.
Yeah, and I mean, I can relate to that entirely from a ministry, pastor, church standpoint, right? So, you know, we're a small town. You know, any small town church is wrestling with usually shrinking attendance. It's just the direction of our communities is church is less and less of a priority for a lot of reasons. Time, commitments, family. Mm-hmm. It's not perceived as much of a need or a part of people's lives as much. So like there's shrinking amount of people attending church, which means shrinking resources. So, you know, there's less money to do the work of the church. There's less people to do the work of the church. And so it's really easy to get to look around and see the other churches in the community as your competitors. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people are they running on Sunday morning, and what programs do they do for whatever, you know, the holiday that just passed, and oh, are they doing, and like trying to gauge your own sense of success, or feeling threatened by, oh, they did this really cool thing. And instead of celebrating the fact that people in your community had the opportunity to be ministered to in a unique way, you start saying, mm-hmm. oh, that's going to be a threat to what we're trying to do here.
Right.
So it's, I think it's easy to fall into that no matter what your field is or mm-hmm. what your background is. And,
well, and I think, and you have too, as a pastor, you have that connection too with the other churches, mm-hmm. and probably have the opportunity to get together and say, you know, what can we do together? How can we support mm-hmm. each other? And I'm sure that helps too, to not, you know, have that tendency to just compare. But as you said, I mean, I think it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that has really made it more frequent for right. us to have that comparison is social media.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So I think social media has completely changed the way that we view ourselves, the mm-hmm. way we view the world and other people. It's so easy to look at other people and say they have it figured out.
Right.
Their life is perfect because it's Instagram perfect. That's the way it looks.
Right.
And, you know, they probably get their kids off to school just fine in the morning and didn't rush out the door.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, their kids are perfectly dressed and, you know, their morning went flawless, when really I'm sure that's not what's actually happening.
Right. Because people aren't Instagramming their train wrecks.
Right. Right. We don't want people to see when we're a mess. And, you know, that's one of the things I've been very careful about doing. As you know, I share quite a bit on social media, and I do that personally, and I also do that through the Warrior Speaker series mm-hmm. that I have. But I put a lot of thought into anything that I post on social media, and I try to make sure that the content that I'm sharing is real and it's raw and it's accurate. And so it is easy to share, you know, on our best days mm-hmm. and to share a good picture. I feel good today, so I'm gonna post a selfie or, right, you know, whatever right, it right. is. But I try to break down those walls. And a lot of people sometimes don't understand that either. Some people will look at it and say, you share too much. But the reason I do is I want people to see this is real life. Mm. I'm not here to just share the best moments. I'm here to talk about what's real and what's really happening in our lives, because that's where people relate. People aren't relating to those Instagram-worthy moments. They're relating to what's really happening in life. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to hear that. I think we need to see that we don't all have it figured out. I don't know how to, you know, I don't have my life 100% completely together. I don't know the solution, you know, to being 100% perfect. I don't think it exists, but it's easy for us to think that it does.
Yeah, and I mean, we all have the desire to portray ourselves in a particular way and manner and represent ourselves well to others. But I think you're right with the social media impact. Like, you can spend 5 minutes scrolling through, you know, a feed or a timeline or whatever, and see everybody at their best. And you start to get the sense, whether it's, you know, spoken or not, but the sense of, look at all these people that are living this great life. And, you know, you might have a couple hundred people you're connected with, and three of them are on vacation. So you're like, oh, everybody's taking these great vacations. And here I am working this job, or, oh, somebody just got this new whatever, you know, and it's like, oh, people are just getting great stuff all over the place. And here I am with my old whatever. And it's just, it's so easy to get this perception that, seeing everybody's best moments, that everybody else has a better life and you're just left behind.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you bring up, you know, it feels like I've felt a call to ministry since I was 18 years old, but I haven't been a full-time pastor that whole stretch. Like, God opened different doors that led me into logistics management for a while and some other stuff. I worked at a university, and like, it's just here within the last couple of years where I've really felt like I'm fully walking, which I've been called to do this whole time. And so it'd be easy to say, you know, that those years, other people were getting ahead, right? And I think you probably have a similar experience. Like, you walked down a path in the business world, and here recently, you know, you said, I'm going to change direction and kind of hit reset.
Right.
And I mean, that's...
It makes me feel behind. Like, it makes me feel like, you know, I'm doing it backwards, or I'm doing it slower.
Right.
But I think the reality is, had my path been straight, my purpose wouldn't be the same.
Right.
So it's the experiences and that long way around that brought me to my calling and my purpose to do these types of things, to share that story with other people and to say, no, it hasn't been all easy. It's not been a piece of cake, but this is what I learned from it. And I want you to help you learn from it too. You know, so I think that definitely, I think it would look a lot different for us if, you know, our paths, you know, were a straight path versus how we got here.
Yeah. And I think the reality is, even the people that we are comparing ourselves to and think, oh, they just had the straight path, you know, it's not as straight as what it looks like from the outside. You know, I recently had a particular milestone in ministry and reaching ordination in the Church of the Nazarene, and that was a huge deal, and it's taken me a long journey to get here and to share that step in the process with some younger folk that from an outsider's perspective looks like, you know, they went to college, they walked out the door of college, started working at a church, and now they're getting the same ordination that I'm getting. Like, it seems like real straightforward, but part of what of the process was during the service was we had to have a lunch. All of us ordination candidates had to have a lunch and talk to the Nazarene General Superintendent. And he was just asking about our stories and to hear this younger person that I thought was, you know, A, B, C, and they where they are, like, that their story was just as winding and wandering, and they had moments of confusion and and, you know, leaps of faith in it, and the reality is that nobody has nobody escapes those moments of doubt and questioning and wondering. And so even people that have maybe the shortcut that we look at it from our perspective, that they're wrestling along the way, and that there might come points of time that they start questioning. When things get hard or challenging, they start looking around going, oh, I wish I had the confidence that this is what I'm supposed to be doing because it's never been this hard before.
Right.
Where, you know, if it took us 5 or 10 years to get there, we're like, no, we know it's going to be hard, and this is what
keeps us going.
Yeah, it's the, right. it's that sense of calling and purpose that has defined it. So nobody escapes without wrestling with those things. And
do you think that there's people that feel comparison more than others? Do you think, like, let's take go back to social media for a minute and say, do you think it's different for women than it is for men?
I think it's probably different.
Or different, you know, different career paths or different, I don't know. Do you think comparison is a struggle for all people? Or do you think it's more of a struggle for some than it is for others?
I think it's probably the default setting for us.
Right.
I think it shows up differently depending on our, I mean, I think probably male versus female probably has a part to do with it. I think, mm-hmm. You know, your personality type probably has to do with it. Your family background probably has a lot to do with it. You know, for me as being an introvert, like I see it right. differently. Right. So right. like, I'm more of one to sit back and kind of watch and see what other people are doing before I enter into a situation. And so it's easy for me to go look back from the outside and go, they've got it all figured out over there. I'm not, cause I don't like to walk into a situation where I don't feel welcome or invited.
Okay.
And so I play the outsider really well. And so when I'm at my worst with that, it's easy for me to stay on the outside and look at the group of people or whoever and go, oh, they've got it all figured out. I don't belong there. And so like start using those as measuring sticks of, if I get to where they're at, then I'd be, you know, welcome in that group or I'd, Like
you're not prepared enough almost to be where they are qualified.
Like I'm not good enough to, you know, to be included in that group because by default I have no immediate desire to jump right into the middle of a group.
Right.
Now somebody who's probably more social and engaged as their default setting would probably just jump right into the group. And from my perspective, be like, oh, they're just going to jump right in. That's going to be great and easy for them.
Right.
But they might be standing in the middle of the group going, I have no idea.
Trying to figure it out along the way.
I have no idea what I'm doing here or, right. you know, like, so it, I think there's that, I think we all have that setting. I think we process it differently depending on our circumstances.
So I had a friend that told me this year that one of her goals for the year was to just do it, to just get started. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you said, sitting back and watching and thinking, I'm not qualified. I'm not prepared to do that yet. I've got steps A, B, and C mm-hmm. to figure out first. Mm-hmm. I know that that's something that I'm learning is just to start mm-hmm. sometimes. I'm OCD and I'm a planner and I'm very detailed and I'm always trying to just like you. I mean, that's where we're similar in mm-hmm. our personalities is trying to figure out the steps first. And I do feel like sometimes that comparison is making us feel less prepared when really we just need to kind of dive in mm-hmm. and get going and then figure it out. It's kind of like this podcast
right.
that we, that we've been planning all this time right. because we were so caught up in what do we want it to look like? What do we want it to yeah. say? Rather than we finally sat down one day and said, we just got to right. do it. We just got to start recording.
And what people don't know is we re-recorded an episode. So this is episode 2, but we've recorded 3 because we over-planned the first one or something. Yeah, I don't
know. Not to mention all the bloopers that will eventually yeah. come out. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just interesting from your perspective and other people's perspective. I mean, I know for women and for myself, I'm sure as you're scrolling through social media and things, what you're looking at is different than what we are. So mm-hmm. I know for me, it's easy for me to look at and say, gosh, she's so pretty. Her family is perfect. And her wardrobe is, you know, awesome. And I wish I had that.
Yeah, she's got it all together.
Yeah, she has it all together. Mm-hmm. And I know that's something I'm assuming from a guy's perspective, mm-hmm. that's, I don't know if that happens as a guy is going through to go, he's got it all together. He's got a cool car. He's got a pretty wife. Like, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I think there's some of that. I would use caution in using me as the stereotypical guy's perspective, though. I just, because I don't feel like that's necessarily where I come from.
But it'd be fun to get everyone's feedback on
that. Oh,
like
absolutely.
On this episode and to you know, have people share with us, like, where is comparison yeah. coming to play in their lives? You know, as a woman, as a man, as yeah. different careers and backgrounds of, you know, share with us, like, what do you compare?
Yeah.
How is comparison playing a role in your life? And how is that impacting you, yeah. holding you back? Or even maybe sometimes it's pushing you forward. Maybe right. that maybe you allow it to be your motivation to get started rather than hold you back.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, as I look at social media or look, at people that are in, you know, the career field I'm in or have the same goals that I have, it's easy to get frustrated or not feel like I'm as far along as I'd like to be. And that for me is the biggest challenge. It's not necessarily my value, just in sense of, you know, like I'm not good enough. It's just this, I'd like, for as much as I see myself as a hard worker, right? And life has been a grind and a challenge, and it just feels like I have a tendency to want to throw pity parties for myself. I try not to have those parties, but it's
silently because you're an introvert.
Right. Yeah, it's just me. I'm the only one at the party.
You're the only one at the table.
But it's that, you know, here I've worked harder, I've sacrificed more, and somebody else has gotten the fast pass to the to where I want to be, and
it's not fair.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it boils down to. But then there is that sense of I've learned how to use that as motivation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe it's not as hard as I'm building it up in my head to be. Maybe I am overthinking this a little bit. And I, like you said, just need to take that first step and jump into it. Because, yeah, that, I think comparison is the thing that does paralyze me from taking steps.
Absolutely. Well, and I think if we go back to the scripture that we're talking about today, John 21:17-23, is it goes back again to saying it doesn't matter what's going on in everyone else's life. What matters is what has God called us to do, each of us individually. He has a path for each of us. He has a calling for each of us. And if we're focused on what everyone else is doing around us, that we're losing sight of what we're actually called to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting. I mean, I'm glad you circled back to the scripture and corrected my reference because I said it wrong the first time because I didn't have my notes in front of me. But the idea, I mean, that's a question I probably talk with most people about as pastors, like, what does God want me to do with my life? Mm-hmm. Is that question of purpose? And yet we see in this, in that scripture, like I said, Jesus giving Peter very specific calling, and because he was worried about what somebody else was doing and comparing himself to the call in somebody else's life, he couldn't hear it, or at least not hear it well. And so, like, you know, for our podcast to be about helping others get free of the things that hold them back and walking in their mission and purpose, like, I don't know, is it oversimplified to say, you know, to get out of the comparison game, we just need to understand our purpose? Is that, like, embrace our mission? Is that trying to reduce something down to simple? Like, I guess, how do we get out of this comparison game?
What's the advice when it comes to it?
Yeah, like,
do we address it?
What do we do to, because honestly, so much of our culture encourages the comparison game, right? Like this, you know, I'll step lightly because I know you're in the marketing field, but but marketing is
that's
in,
what it is.
The entire industry is to make you feel like you don't have, I mean, there's...
You need this other thing.
Right, yeah. That's the whole point, is to create that itch to say, oh, I'm incomplete without this. Mm-hmm. And somebody else might have it. I mean, this is why people line up for, you know, outside of stores when a new phone is being released. Like, I can get that same phone a week later, but somebody might have it, right?
So it's going to beat me to it.
It's this comparison. It's this drive that people are getting ahead. So like I said, our culture encourages it. It kind of functions on this comparison. I mean, that's what drives social media, right? Like, obviously, like, I got on, you know, Facebook years ago to just connect with friends, but it has taken on a whole new dynamic than that. And they have those algorithms that function behind the scenes that put things in front of you.
Right.
And it's usually not, oh, this will be good for you. It's, like encouraging or, it's either, you know, what's the latest controversy or what's the thing that's going to get your attention, whether it's good for you or not. It's choosing what it wants to present you. So, like, the whole culture has this undercurrent of comparison kind of built in, right? Like, mm-hmm. why should I go to college? Well, if I don't go to college, then the people who do are going to get the better jobs and they're going to get ahead of me. Why should I work late hours at the office? Well, because the coworker is going to work those late hours at the office and they're going to get ahead of me if I don't. Like, mm-hmm. there's this fundamental anxiety that lives and we just assume that it's there, right? I mean, we don't even notice it. Just this is just the way the world works. And so, like, how do we step out of that? I mean,
And I think it's, I don't think it's as simple as saying stop comparing, because I think it's natural for us to want to do those things. Mm-hmm. But I think that at the end of the day, it's about our faith maybe. Okay. And it's about, you know, for me, it's prayer and trust. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's it. Trust and having... trusting that God does have a specific plan for me. Mm-hmm. And just because my plan has taken a little bit longer, mm-hmm. and because, you know, I'm not getting answers the way that I want to, I'm praying and God, do you hear me? Where are you?
Right.
Sometimes it's even in that silence, right, that he's working on us. And so I think at the end of the day, it's trust. It's trust in our faith that there is a plan for us, even if it looks different from the plan that we're seeing for other people.
Mm-hmm. That's good. I think trust is big. I think I would come at it from, and this is probably where I'm at in my life right now, but a position of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That I have been called to this thing. And so there's other people that probably have jobs that are maybe more financially rewarding, create more stability for the long haul for their family, probably offer them more hours of sleep. You know, like you can start looking around and saying there's other environments that are better than being a small town pastor. Right. And yet this is the path that God, equipped me for, gave me gifts and abilities for, and then called me for and has empowered me to do these things. And this is my path. And so, yeah, just a sense of gratitude. So I think trust is a great one. But I just, where I'm at right now is just the sense of, I don't want somebody else's path.
Right.
Because I'm so glad that God, you know, looked at me and said, this is what I have planned for you. And to learn to celebrate that. And it's not always easy, but to say these challenges, these struggles that I'm wrestling with, it's all just part of what God has called me to do and just try to be grateful for it.
Right. And, you know, you saying that reminds me of, I think there's a quote or something out there that talks about, you know, God created all these things in the world, and yet he decided the world needed one of you too.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I think of when you say that, is that gratitude of there's so many things going on, but I need to celebrate that God has chosen me individually to do this mm-hmm. thing, and that this is my path and this is my calling. Or even celebrate, maybe you don't have that figured out yet. Maybe you don't know what your purpose and calling mm-hmm. is, and that's okay too, but celebrate that God is working on something through you.
Mm-hmm. And I think if we can quit looking at the people around us as competition or a measuring stick, or whatever, we can get beyond that. That's where the freedom that we like to talk about a lot. Like, we're not driven to react to what other people are doing. Our sense of fulfillment and contentment in a moment isn't based off of what somebody else is up to mm-hmm. or what they have, but that I can be right where I'm at and feel like I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
Because this is the path that God has laid for me, and I'm not going to let what I see around me steal that. And then when you reach that point, like, there's freedom in that. And then yeah. you can look at the person next to you that you were just comparing yourself to and seeing as a competitor, you can look at them and celebrate their steps too, and right. say, hey, this is the good things going on in your life. But then you can also see where they struggle.
Right.
And so you can see the connection and honestly the mission that's beneath, like, I mean, this is the whole point of the name of the podcast, right? The connection, like on the surface level, we're all going in 10 million different directions, but underneath all that, you know, I think we're all trying to accomplish similar things, you know, to live a life that is fulfilling and brings joy to us and those around us, and to feel safe and secure in our day-to-day lives. And I don't know, we can start seeing that in that same desire, that same mission, that same purpose in others. And so, I mean, comparison, yeah, it steals our own sense of purpose and joy, but it also robs us of relationship because we start seeing people as, I don't know, not people. They're
right.
The competition or
right. They're something. Against us instead of with us.
Yeah.
I love that. I think that's a great way to wrap it up and say that, it just, yeah, it, I mean, if we look at things from that perspective and that freedom that comes with that perspective, and there's a peace with it too.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, you stop comparing and you just start appreciating. And so I think that's awesome. And I hope that, you know, it's not going to go away. Comparison's not going to go away, but I think it's all about the perspective and how we choose to use it when it surfaces in our life. Are we going to let it motivate us? Are we going to let it restore our faith? Or are we going to let it be a thief of what we're really living for?
Well, and the skills, and I think it's good we're concluding, so I'm not trying to start a new topic, but I just was...
Got a little worried here. We're about to do another 30 minutes.
Yeah, right, part two. No, we are running out of time. But the idea that, like, the skills that we use to compare ourselves to others, like that paying attention to what's going on in other people's lives and looking at what their successes are and what their challenges are, like, those same skills can be used once we're free of the comparison game. Those same things can be used to foster community and encourage one another. Like, instead of saying, oh, I saw Marcy over there and she did that wonderful thing, I got to catch up to her, or
right.
like, I can actually, you know, shoot her a message and say, hey, I saw you had that thing. That's awesome. I'm so excited for you. Or,
right.
or instead of saying, oh, I saw, you know, Marcy tried this new thing and it failed. You know, she's terrible. I'm better than her.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me feel good about myself because she's not ahead of me. Instead of saying that, I can say, oh, that must be terrible. Like, I've tried something new and it hasn't worked. I'm going to reach out and to somebody who's a person, who's a friend, who's a, right? Like, so not only does that peace give us that freedom, but it's the same skills that we use for good, the same attention to
it makes
people
you feel better, though, to encourage other people. I mean,
right.
I know I've tried to get in the habit of, like, even if I just see a really pretty girl or her hair is pretty or something, I try to get in the habit now, instead of being like, man, she's so pretty, she's more pretty than me, to just say, hey, you know, you're really pretty, or, you know, I really like your hair, I like that outfit you have, or, yeah, I saw you tried this thing, and that's awesome, you're accomplishing these great things. I think that really does something inside of us to help encourage and inspire other people when they're doing good, rather than look at it as a threat.
Yeah, because, I mean, things have a tendency to isolate us. And when you are able to look at others and to celebrate and to encourage, it builds community. And, I mean,
that's what we're trying to
we're trying to accomplish. And so it's looking at these things that create barriers, and this comparison game is probably one of the biggest.
It is. I think it'll be a topic that, you know, it's going to come up more, and that it's always going to be something we can talk about. But, you know, that is our purpose. I mean, that's what we want to do, is look at the barriers that are really out there and talk through those and say, hey, you're not the only one that feels this way. This is a real thing.
Yep.
But what can we do to overcome those barriers and help each other out?
Yep. You're not alone, for sure.
Nope. Never alone. Yep. So awesome. Well, it's been a great topic today. I'm going to wrap up here episode 2 and look forward to bringing more episodes. If there's ever a topic that you all want to hear, you know, comment on our Facebook page and send us a message and reach out to us and let us know, you know, what are your barriers? What do you want to hear? And what do you want to talk about? Because we're always going to look for new topics. We want to talk real talk, what's really going on out there. So,
yep. Thanks for tuning in. Again, Marcy mentioned the Facebook page, but you know, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you're getting your podcast from, and you know, leave a review if you get a chance, or share it with your friends. We're trying to, I don't know, reach people and
connect. Spread the word.
Yep. So thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next time.
See you guys.